Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hello, everybody, and welcome. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Francis Schottman here with Mark Pascal. Together, we own Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi restaurants in downtown New Brunswick, and we're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. Listen to us every weekday from 11 a.m. to noon, and you can also check us out on our website at restaurantguysradio.com, and we're also podcasting on iTunes, Podcast Alley, and all those cool podcasting sites. Hey there, Mark.
Hey, Francis. How are you this morning?
I'm just great, man. Life is very exciting these days.
Sure is. I have to tell you, and I want to talk to everybody about the very valuable lesson that I learned this weekend.
You mean from me?
From you. And
What lesson?
Well, the lesson I learned about all these reality TV shows, the Maury Povich's, all these reality shows where these people come on the show. And
we learned so many lessons about that this weekend. Tell me.
Well, one of the things that I learned is you watch those shows, and anytime I happen past them and stare at them like they're a train wreck, I watch a show like that, and I think, this isn't real. These guys are actors. They're coming in here. They're pretending to do this.
You'd be amazed at the amount of white trash out there, Mark.
Just trash. Okay?
I have a problem. I have a problem with those shows. Uh-huh. I really do. I think reality shows, Fear Factor, Jerry Springer, Maury Povich, I think they make the country weaker. We are morally weaker as a country because of those shows. But I still, if I'm off in the morning, I want to know who the daddy is, so I watch. Like a train wreck, and I feel bad about it, but I watch. The country would be a better place without him.
So, how did we learn this lesson? This past weekend, we had one of these shows come and rent two of the rooms at Stage Left Restaurant.
Horrible.
In order to do a
horrible
new reality show.
Horrible.
A new reality
people.
show on Lifetime, going to be called Face the Family.
Horrible
and
people.
And they decided to do a shot. And Face the Family is like a Meet the Parents reality show.
I'll give you the lowdown. I booked the party. Here's the lowdown.
Okay.
The Face the Family is coming up on the Lifetime channel. And what it is two people from different backgrounds who are about to get married. And they haven't really had interaction with the other's parents. So we had a couple where one of them was Greek, the other one was Italian. And like he hadn't met her parents, she hadn't met his parents. So he goes and lives with her parents for a week. She goes and lives with his parents for a week.
Love it.
And then they come together for a big dinner with all the parents and the kids at some nice restaurant in the area. So they came together at Stage Left.
Sounds great.
Train wreck. Absolute train wreck. I wanted to cull the species, okay? Drop a bomb on the restaurant while it's going on and cull the species.
Actually, it was a neutron bomb.
Oh, my God.
Takes care of the people and leaves everything.
Okay, check this out. It's predatory, okay? It's predatory because it ends. Before the entrees get there, they're ready to kill each other. What I love is, and the producers who are... What scumbags? Because they pretend to be comforting you, like, it's going to be okay, it's going to be okay. Cry for the camera. Cry for the camera.
And that's it. You know, and when you watch these reality shows, you watch Jerry Springer or Maury run backstage with the person who's crying.
They're being kind.
Like they're going to console her. But really what they want to do is they want to get the camera in the face of this person who's crying and a wreck and life is falling apart so that you can watch it on your television at home.
What's wrong with you people? I watched it in person. It was great.
Oh,
no, it wasn't great. It
goodness.
Was horrible. Honestly, being there, it was horrible. Because this whole thing, literally...
Can we tell people what happened?
Oh, yeah. You know, I'll tell you why we can tell people what happened. First of all, because I want to tell you that. First of all, listen. Your boyfriend invites you to go on the reality show. Say no. Just say no. Because I can't believe he's telling me the baby's not mine.
Right, exactly. I get invited to go on a TV show so you can tell me some news.
Right.
There's no news, Jerry, that I want you to give me on a television
Jerry,
show.
Jerry, I'm really worried that I'm keeping the secret from her. If you were, why don't you tell her at home?
But Jennifer, I'm actually a woman. I'm sorry to tell you.
But the question is, why in the world? I mean, what do you think he's going to tell you? That she's mad because you leave the seat up? Is that what she brought you and Jerry? Anyway, so these people come in. So you're a crazy idiot for going on one of these things to begin with. Okay, you want to win $1 million for eating a snake? Fine. But this for the personal ones, you're a crazy person. But secondly, the people who put these on are predatory scumbags.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so what I love about the particular predatory scumbags who were in was as this – and they broke up. They literally have been living together for 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. And by the way, they should have. Okay, these people should definitely the right decision. But they just shouldn't have had to do it on camera in front of 60 million viewers. So, but what they said was... And
it's lifetime, it won't be 60 million viewers.
Right, but here's what I love. The producer comes and he says, yeah, you know, well, it's good that this is happening. Like, he's trying to justify his own existence as a human being on the planet. Not such a good job. And he says, well, you know, they had real issues. They probably should have broken up anyway. This is true. And I was like, so, I mean, isn't this horrible? You get this. And he's like, yeah, well, it's bad for them, good for us. And I thought, oh, you're a jerk.
Yeah, that's...
And I said, well, what about all the stuff when they tell you to turn off the cameras? Because they went like, no, turn off the cameras. He's like, okay, turn off the cameras.
Right. What happened midway through is things got very volatile, and the potential bride's mother said, that's it, turn off the cameras, this is too intimate, I don't want this being shown on television, turn off the cameras.
And you know what they did?
So the producer said,
okay, all right, we'll turn off the cameras, but he left the cameras rolling.
Pretended to turn off the cameras in order to get the really juicy stuff.
But you know what?
Shame on you.
Shame on him. They deserve, I mean, the couple, everybody deserves it.
You reap what you sow, it was all bad.
They should just all be scooped up and dropped in the Raritan River. The guests, the producers, the camera crew, everybody just dropped in the Raritan River.
But can we talk just a little bit about what happened here on this on this show? Just for a minute.
Let's go. This happened in a restaurant.
Right, of course. It happened in our restaurant this past weekend. These guys from Lifetime rented a couple rooms at Stage
Left.
And had dinner in order to film this reality show, something that we won't be doing again in the near future, just so everyone knows. Lesson learned, okay? I have learned my lesson.
Okay, so give us the lowdown.
So this couple comes in, and what they're doing is they're introducing their parents to each other, okay? But there's all this baggage that's underground, okay? And one of my favorite parts of the baggage that's underground... 5 days earlier, the potential bride has intercepted a text message
to
the groom that he should come over and meet with this girl that he's apparently been seeing and that he should come over to her house tonight. And what the producers of the show said, no, don't tell him about it.
The message was, the text message was, from some girl to her fiancé, I finally dumped the scumbag. When are you coming
when
over?
When can you come over?
C-U-M-M-I-N-G, over. And
awful.
That was
awful. Okay.
Brought out.
So she's held this in for 5 days so she can confront him about it on television in front of the world.
In front of her parents and his parents. You deserve what you get,
okay,
honey.
The reason she's held on to this is because the producer said, no, it'll be better for you if you wait until the television show to talk about this.
Horrible.
It wasn't better for her. It was better for them.
Yeah, really horrible.
So now she leaves crying. He's just kind of sitting there looking like a bus ran him over. His parents are screaming. Her parents are screaming. They're all screaming at each other. She runs out of the room crying. She's just very upset.
My favorite part about how you know these producers are just scumbags trying to eke the life out of people so you can watch at home. I'm tuning in, by the way. But I don't need to tune in. I saw it. But what I loved is that when they pretend to, like, they're facilitating, like, trying to make it better, but they don't. What they said was at one point the Greek family started screaming at each other in Greek,
mm-hmm.
and the producer's like, no, stop yelling at each other. Yell at each other in English. I guess maybe they can have subtitles under the whole thing.
So,
anyway, it's a little
so here's a little and piece of information. Reality TV's real.
And they asked us, just like they asked the contestants not to turn off the cameras, and they said they would, they asked us not to give away the ending on our radio show, and we said we would.
Hey, they break up.
They break up.
Okay,
face
she leaves crying.
Check it
he's
out.
Upset.
We're coming back with Deborah Coons Garcia. She's the widow of Jerry Garcia, and she also has produced a new film called The Future of Food. It's one of the most important films on food to come out in years. We'll talk with her in just a moment. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:15. Hey, you're back with the Restaurant Guys. This is Mark and Francis. We have today with us a very special guest who's coming on our show again. She was on the show a while ago. You may know of Deborah Coons Garcia as the widow of Jerry Garcia, but she is also a writer and director of several films, and her riveting new documentary, The Future of Food, is now available on DVD, and you can get it in time for Christmas. It's a riveting and in-depth investigation into the disturbing truths behind genetically modified or GMO foods that have been quietly filling grocery store shelves unlabeled and unnoticed. It's also about the rather disturbing and dirty politics behind that food. It is a clarion bell for those of you who may not realize that due to recent changes in law, companies are able to patent life itself, and very few companies are trying to gobble up all the patents and control the food supply for all humans. I may sound a little crazy, but I promise you, it's a situation that's a little crazy.
You're a little crazy, too, Francis.
And joining us to discuss it and her film today is Deborah Coons Garcia. Hi, Deborah.
Hi.
Hi, Deborah. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming back on again. Now, the last time we had you on the show was when your film was released in theaters, and I saw it in a movie theater, and I was riveted by it and called you up immediately, and you were gracious enough to come on the show to talk about all the issues raised. But now your show's out on DVD, and people can pick it up. Where can they get this film?
Well, they can get it off our website, thefutureoffood.com, and they can get it at Whole Foods markets and other stores that
now
carry DVDs, and also you can health food stores and places like that.
So they're selling your DVD at Whole Foods?
They're selling it in all the Whole Foods all over the country, which is almost 200 stores.
That's pretty amazing. How did this alliance form, and why do you think that Whole Foods has decided to get behind your film like that?
Well, I kind of stalked down one of the co-presidents of Whole Foods at one of these natural food, organic food conventions.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. The film played at a few of those, and so I met him and I encouraged him to watch the film, gave him a copy, and he watched it. And he and the other president, John Mackey, the founder, liked the film and thought it was valuable, and that it also really was the same message that Whole Foods is carrying, which is that people do prefer healthy organic food, especially when they know where it's grown.
Well, I'd like to modify that a little bit. Your message is also, and you should be scared as hell of the other stuff.
Actually, Deborah,
you have the bad news, yeah.
are you a little afraid that people won't be as scared of this film on the small screen as they were on the big screen?
No, actually, I think people still kind of think of it as a horror film, but an inspiring one, which is interesting because it's better to know. It's better to know what genetic engineering is, and it's better to know that Monsanto has bought up the seed companies and that sort of thing, because if we don't know, it'll just keep going, and it'll really completely take over. I think it'll take over our food system. We won't have a choice.
Well, if this is a horror film, I feel like you're giving us garlic and wooden crosses to combat the demons.
Oh, Mark, that's so beautiful. I'm going to cry, but I might get it on the microphone.
That's a great one.
Now, Deborah, for those of our listeners who aren't familiar with the movie and aren't familiar with what we're talking about and maybe didn't hear your first guest appearance with us, why don't you explain to people, why don't you give me a few minutes here to just explain to people what the point is and what the issues you raise in the film are, and what your purpose behind the film is?
Well, I wanted to make a film about the difference between agribusiness and agriculture, and to help people appreciate good food and to demand it, because I started eating organic food in the 70s, so I'm kind of a food fanatic myself, and I've always thought that everybody should eat that way and everybody should demand that kind of food. So when I started working on this film about 4 or 5 years ago, researching it, it became obvious to me that the issues of pesticides and herbicides and all the sort of things I thought I was going to focus on were, in a way, dwarfed by this whole issue of genetic engineering,
mm-hmm.
which is what's happening now, which is supposedly the latest thing, has been for the past 10 years.
So I read the food company propaganda, press releases, and they say, they tell me, you read all the time how, you know, genetically modified food is going to feed a hungry planet. Is that not the case?
Well, no, it's not the case, and they have several things they say. One thing they say is it's exactly the same as non-GE food, which it's not, because it's created by using recombinant DNA technology, using pieces of viruses and bacteria to cross species boundaries. They also say we've been doing this kind of breeding.
Hold on, you went very quickly over that. Can you, maybe you should just back up for 1 second and tell everybody exactly what that means.
Well, the way that food is, or anything, is genetically engineered, that what the term genetically engineered means is that you use its recombinant DNA technology, which was invented in the Bay Area in the 70s, and you actually take pieces of DNA from bacteria and viruses and use them to take the DNA that you want and move it across species boundaries.
Why are they using viruses?
Well, because that's just the way that they, that's the technique that they use.
Because
they
you can't get a salmon to mate with a piece of corn. You have to do something else.
Right. So you use, yeah, exactly, pieces. Or human and rice. That's a good one. They put human genes in rice. And so, yeah, so they have to create what's called a genetic cassette, where they kind of line up pieces of DNA from a bunch of different things, bacteria and viruses and whatever they want in it, the piece of human DNA that they want to put in the rice. And they make this genetic cassette, and they shoot it into the cell. And, you know, as one scientist described it to me, he said they make tens of thousands of monsters, and they choose the one that doesn't look like a monster, and that's the one they...
the one that looks the most like corn.
That's
very
scary proposition.
Thanks very much. That's great. I love
Our guest today is Deborah Coons Garcia. She is the widow of Jerry Garcia and a filmmaker in her own right. And her most recent film, which is about food, is called The Future of Food. And, boy, this film is well-researched. It's right on. And one of the great marks of its credibility, it's being attacked by the food companies as uncredible. And I think that's really great.
And Fox News called it a crockumentary, which I thought was really clever. Actually,
wear that as a badge of honor.
Yeah, well, I actually put that in my list of with all the other good
news
from the New York Times and everybody else. So,
our guest today is Deborah Coons Garcia. We're talking about her new film, The Future of Food, and we'll be talking more with her in just a moment about genetically modified food, the food supply overall, and what you can do to make sure that good food and good taste are one and the same. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:25. You know, Mark and I are always saying that long-term, good environmental policy and good economic policy are one and the same. And that's not just for the government, it's also for small business and homeowners just like you. To help us put our money where our mouth is, we called E2ECTA. E2ECTA uses a team of specialists to find practical ways for your business or home to conserve energy and even to generate green energy that the utility company then has to buy back from you. That generates a different kind of green for your bottom line. We've gone solar at our restaurants. We're now producing cheap, non-polluting electricity, and with the help of E2ECTA, we did it for very little money. The government programs available to get you set up are unbelievable. We're talking about grants here, not loans, but grants. E2ECTA will help you find the right programs for you, and they'll do the paperwork. You keep the profits. It's a no-brainer, people. For lower energy usage, more profits for yourself, call E2ECTA at 908-359-9300 or click on their link at restaurantguysradio.com. E2ECTA for total energy solutions.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Mark Pascal and Francis Schott. Today, our delightful guest is Deborah Coons Garcia, widow of Jerry Garcia, who is just released on DVD a magnificent movie called The Future of Food. And the future of food can be a little bit bleak, Deborah, unless we're a little bit careful.
And also, I think that we talked about the break, and I didn't know this, but I didn't know about the Fox 5 reaction, the Fox News reaction to your documentary. They called it a crockumentary?
Yeah, they called it a crockumentary.
I love it. What did they say about it? What are their criticisms of it?
Well, I think that, most of the reviews have been, almost all the reviews have been very positive, including the New York Times and, you know, the Village Voice and that area, all kinds of papers. But that when they criticize the film, there have been a couple of Monsanto spokespersons. They say the same things. They say it's dated and inaccurate, which it isn't. Mm-hmm. And then they say, like the question you were asking earlier, they continue this the propaganda that they say. They say, you know, it's exactly the same, which it's not. We've been doing it for thousands of years, which we haven't.
What I love is they say it's dated. They say it's dated and inaccurate, which I guess the defense is no. We used to be evil bastards, and now we've gotten better.
Yeah.
She just hasn't checked recently.
Yeah.
3 years ago, we were evil.
Yeah,
we've retired all the evil.
There is one mistake in the film. One of the people in the film talks about an economist who he says won a Pulitzer Prize, but actually the person won a Nobel Prize.
Oh, yeah.
That's
a good mistake
to make.
It's inaccuracies like that, ma'am, you know, really call your credibility into question. Now, some of the charges you level at businesses like Monsanto, now obviously I think that's another mark of that you're doing something right if Monsanto's out to get you. What is Monsanto's problem with you, what's your problem with Monsanto?
Well, I think that Monsanto was originally a chemical company,
yep.
And in the 90s they started buying up the seed supply. So they control an enormous amount of the corn and soy and vegetable germplasm that's for sale in the Western.
So what are they doing with them?
Well, you know, they're genetically engineering them, and they're deciding what seeds can come out and what seeds can't come out.
So you're talking about a few companies literally trying to control the seed supply of the world?
And they do. So, and the way that the law is working now, the patent law, is they're able to patent these seeds. And when you patent a seed under these utility patents, the farmers can't replant it. So they have to go back to the seed company the next year and buy all new seeds.
We're going to talk about that more in just a moment.
I want to talk more about Percy Smizer, who's a man who was sued by Monsanto for growing their seed, even though he never planted it.
But let's just remember, if you control the government, that's one thing. But if you don't control the government, but you control all the food in the world, you can be just as much of a tyrant, more of a tyrant, in fact, than if you just control the government. Our guest is Deborah Coons Garcia. We'll be talking more with her about her film, The Future of Food, when we come back from the news. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:30.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal, here with Francis Schott. Together, we own Stage Left Restaurant and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day from 11 to noon or just through restaurantguysradio.com, and now you can download us on iTunes.
Our guest today is Deborah Coons Garcia. Again, you may know her as the widow of Jerry Garcia, but she's also the writer and director of a riveting new documentary called The Future of Food. The Future of Food, we had Deborah on the show months ago when it was released in the fall to theaters throughout the country. It's now on DVD. It's being supported throughout the country by Whole Foods and many other organic food markets. It is a balanced, it is a well-researched, it is a very true documentary about a very disturbing situation. We were talking, Deborah, before the news about some of the things that one of the issues that's the most disturbing that you raise is we have a few companies that are allowed to that are consolidating in such a tremendous way internationally that they're really, I mean, you make the assertion that they're starting to control the food supply, the supply of seeds in the world. Is that accurate? Well, they do.
Most of the seed supply in America now, or in the Western Hemisphere, is controlled by a few companies. Monsanto spent about $10 million buying up seed companies in the past 10 years. And they control an enormous amount of the seed supply. And I think the thing about food is different than oil. Everyone's aware of oil and, you know, people wanting to control it. But food is kind of a background issue.
Yeah.
And people aren't really aware of what's going on with our food supply unless something goes terribly wrong.
And one of the things that is really why we don't understand this and what people don't understand is you think, oh, well, the food companies control all the food, but anybody can plant food because you think, well, as long as I have corn, I can make more corn, right? I mean, you think, well, that farmer out in the field, he can just take some of the corn, which farmers have done since the beginning of human agriculture, and plant reserve some kernels of that corn to plant and make new corn. But that's not so any longer.
The rules have changed. I'd love for you to talk to us a little bit about, and I introduced him kind of before the news, Percy Smizer and his exploits, I should say, in Saskatchewan and exactly what happened to him. Can you tell us a little bit about that whole incident?
Well, Percy Smizer is a canola and wheat farmer up in Canada, and he's now 75, so he's been farming for over 50 years. And what happened to Percy is something that has happened to thousands of farmers, is that Monsanto went on his land and took a sample of his seed, and then a year later, after that crop was sold, he got a letter in the mail saying that he had been they had found their patented genetically engineered crop
On his property, and that he was illegally selling it. Is that correct?
That's right, and that he was illegally growing. He had illegally grown it, and they had violated their patent, and they demanded money from him. And what most farmers do is they just pay the money because they don't want to get involved in a big lawsuit.
But why was his story so ironic?
What happened with his story is that he was a seed saver, so he'd been developing his own seed for many years. He didn't plant the canola. And the court, and so he, so what
he didn't plant Monsanto's canola.
He had never purchased Monsanto canola. He had never intended to have Monsanto's canola. Yet it just started growing on his property.
Blew on his land from a neighbor's property or something.
Yeah, it probably blew. He doesn't know how it got there. His neighbor was growing it, and a truck's tarp broke as it was going by his field. So what happened, and the way that the thing that's insidious about this is Monsanto doesn't file the lawsuit till a year later, till all this crop is out of the field. Mm-hmm. So the farmer can't even prove it, whether it was or wasn't there. So most farmers pay, but Percy decided to fight it. And so he took it all the way up to the Supreme Court of Canada. And the Supreme Court ruled that he had violated Monsanto's patent.
Awful.
And so, you know, it sent a real chill through all the whole, you know, food.
Well, and again, what's lost here is Monsanto decided to press this lawsuit because they could get 25 or I'm sorry, they get thousands of other farmers just to write them a check and start and use their GMO corn or intimidate them into using their GMO corn. And because they didn't have the wherewithal, Percy Smyser spent hundreds of thousands of his retirement dollars in order to fight Monsanto for what he believed was right.
Well, and here's the other attack. Percy Smyser said, you know what? You go with your genetically modified corn. I'm going to stick with the old-fashioned way. That's what I want to do. And that's what got to Monsanto. And Monsanto said, we're going to destroy this man. Because
He was growing canola was what they sued him for.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Although they do have, you know, they do have genetically engineered corn. And mm-hmm. the interesting thing about Percy is that he was in Canadian Parliament for many years, and he was also mayor of his little town. And so that's their equivalent to Congress.
Right.
So he had always felt that when he was in Parliament that he was representing the farmers because he was from Saskatchewan, which is big farming. So I think when this happened to him, there was a part of him that said, this isn't good for farmers.
Right.
I have to fight this.
Right.
Because
I'm going to fight this not just for myself, but for the whole
area. Exactly,
because
he had this sense of civic duty. And he lost. But the thing that the court declared was that Monsanto wanted hundreds of thousands of dollars from him, and the court ruled that he didn't have to pay them any money because he only would owe them the money that the patented DNA, for the increased value that the patented DNA gave to the crop, which mm-hmm. was zero because nobody wants it, you know, nobody
right.
really wants to eat it. So
right.
he didn't owe them any money, which he considered, you know, at least a minor victory.
Yeah, of course, that's after he spent hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Exactly. He already had to pay, he had to foot his own bill.
Well, and also, I mean, what happens here is Monsanto basically polluted this man's land, and,
mm-hmm.
and that's the problem with genetic engineered crops, okay? When we talk about using genetic engineering to fight disease and to fight viruses, it happens, and you point this out in your film, it happens in laboratories, very tightly controlled laboratories with many layers to keep that out of the rest of the environment.
Right. The polio vaccine isn't getting into our water supply.
Right. Mm-hmm. But when you grow genetically engineered crops, you do it in a field, and it might just blow over into Percy Schmeiser's field.
Right.
And
well,
then you're going to sue Percy Schmeiser?
Right. Well, yeah, and the thing that the companies talk about now, they talk about coexistence, like
mm-hmm.
they're being really generous. Like, okay, I'll grow my organic corn here, and, you know, you can grow the genetically engineered corn right next door. And of course, the genetically engineered corn is going to contaminate
mm-hmm.
the non-GE corn. So there is no such thing as coexistence. Coexistence means everything's going to end up genetically engineered.
Right. We'll coexist until we eat you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And it really is, you know. And this thing you brought up earlier, that one of the reasons Monsanto and these companies, they say, oh, we need this to feed the world. But
mm-hmm.
as everyone who is involved in the food system realizes, and I've had so many people talk to me about this when I've shown the film and they've written me emails, is that there's enough food in the world now to feed everyone
mm-hmm.
very, very well.
And in the future.
America,
and for the foreseeable future.
Yeah. I mean, America has a weight problem. We're eating too much food.
Right.
You know, and at least 70% of the grain that's grown is fed to animals. So that's where it's all going.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's plenty of food. It's access to food that's the problem. A lot of the countries in Africa that have famine, they have enough food in one part of the country, but they don't have roads to
right.
take
they
it to
have
the other
way
part
to
of
get
the
it. Or you need to have a grain that can grow in the desert, and there is no
yeah.
genetically modified organism that's going to make grain grow in the desert.
Well,
yeah, and also this idea that, you know, as we just pointed out, that farmers can't replant this because it's patented. So they have to go mm-hmm. back and buy new seed every year from Monsanto. So how is that going to benefit an African farmer who's doing subsistence, you know, doesn't have a lot of money? He can't replant the seeds. He's got to go back and buy it every year, and it's to be used with, you know, expensive chemicals. So it doesn't even, not only is it, does it not make sense because we have enough food to feed the world. And I, you know, I think when people, if people want to help people in these countries, it's not just sending them patented seeds from these giant corporations. It's helping them with irrigation,
mm-hmm.
with roads, with
stable
markets.
Another thing that happens with these patented seeds is these patented seeds work best in the big agribusiness farms in America that are then subsidized by the government of the United States and put very cheap grains out on the market. Well, what happens when those very cheap grains, those very cheap subsidized grains by these big companies are available in the international market?
That also use lots of pesticides.
They make it impossible for these small subsistence farmers to stay on the farm because they then can't make a living. Well, then these small subsistence farmers get off the farm and you actually have less food in these places as a result of all the cheap food you're producing in the United States of America. I mean,
that's exactly right, yeah.
It's absolutely insane. And listen, these are very complex topics. And you out there in listener land, you need to think about this stuff because what the corporations use against us is it's not very simple. And some of it is counterintuitive. But if you want to have a comprehensive look at what exactly is going on in this area called the food supply that is so important to every human being, you should pick up The Future of Food. And you can figure out how to do that by going to our website, restaurantguysradio.com, where we'll link you to Deborah's website at thefutureoffood.com. Our guest is Deborah Coons Garcia. She's the writer and director of that film. She just finished touring Whole Foods around the country. They're behind it as well. You got to pick up this film. You got to give it as a gift. You got to watch it yourself. We'll be back to talk more with Deborah in just a moment. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:45. Hi, this is Francis of Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants and also of The Restaurant Guys radio show. You know, one of the best things about the restaurant business is the creative side of it. Coming up with big ideas and then turning those concepts into reality is awesome. It's what I love most about what I do. But it can't stop there. If you can't communicate exactly what it is you're doing, then you'll find yourself standing alone in your dining room, just you and your big ideas. The Mardini Group can help you get your ideas across to others. The Mardini Group is a boutique graphic design firm, and they do extraordinary work. We use them, and as you know, we only use the best. Whether it's menu design, product packaging, a corporate report, promo material, a homepage, or an awesome logo for a brand new project like Catherine Lombardi, we turn to the Mardini Group. Some small business owners don't realize how important it is to have a strong visual identity. Without it, you come across as less than professional. That can cost you trust, and that lowers your bottom line. First impressions count for a lot, and that's why you need the Mardini Group. Go to restaurantguysradio.com and click on the Mardini Group link or call them at 718-694-9944. The Mardini Group for graphic design, 718-694-9944.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hey, you're back with the Restaurant Guys, Mark Pascal and Francis Schott. Our guest today is Deborah Coons Garcia, the writer and director of The Future of Food, which is now available on DVD, and you should pick it up at futureoffood.com.
Deborah, you know, you got kind of a start in this very early into this whole movement, this whole genetically modified organisms movement. How did you get your start in all this?
Well, but the very first thing that I did when I was 15 in Cincinnati, Ohio, I did a science experiment called polyploidian plants, where I used a chemical and radiation to mutate seeds.
Uh-huh.
And then I grew the plants out.
Hold on, Deborah. Where does a 15-year-old get radiation?
Well, I actually took it to my dentist's office, and he put it in his X-ray machine.
Excellent.
You were a dork, weren't you?
Yeah.
Deborah Coons Garcia was a dork. I didn't know that.
That was pretty funny.
So, okay, go ahead.
So anyway, I grew the plants out, and the ones that were normal were normal, and the ones that I mutated were bigger and thicker and looked really deformed. And it was in the big Cincinnati science fair, and I won first prize, and it was a big deal. But when I grew the plants out, the ones that were thicker and deformed that I'd mutated by, it actually doubles and triples the chromosomes. It's not like genetically engineered now; they're mutations. But I looked at these plants, and I thought, you know, I would not eat these plants.
Right.
Because they were deformed. And so it really struck me that if I could do this, if I could have this really obvious effect on a plant in my bedroom, you know, by treating it with a chemical.
Irradiated food scared you from the time you were 15 years old.
Yeah, and the radiated ones were also deformed looking. And so I just thought, I'm going to keep my eye on this, because if I can do this, things are going to get very weird in the future, and I want to know about it, because instinctively I felt, you know, this food I wouldn't eat.
Well, so you were worried about the future of food even way back then?
You know, I was, and it was funny because my diet then, I mean, this was in the mid-60s, was like, you know, every teenager's diet, you know, cheeseburgers and Cokes and French fries and candy. I mean, you know, my parents, they, you know, we ate well at home, but eating out, it was just all that stuff. And so a few years after that, when I was in college, I did become a vegetarian. Now I eat fish, and I started eating, you know, really finding organic food. And,
welcome back
and,
to the dark side, Deborah, of eating fish.
Yeah.
And soon you'll be having organically grown hamburgers at stage left.
I know. Well, I know people love that, but, you know, I haven't started eating meat yet, but I know a lot of people do.
And we'll try and convince you.
Good meat, yeah.
We'll try and convince you soon enough.
We'll try and tempt you. Now, I want to talk about one issue that you've raised in the past, which is the problem with genetically modified food as opposed to genetically modified drugs is it's much harder to keep the genie in the bottle.
Yeah.
With genetically modified foods. And there, you touch on a subject called farming, P-H-A-R-M-I-N-G. Will you talk to us about farming?
Yeah.
Which actually reminds me of Fish just a little bit, the band, and it's a little disturbing, the parallel there. But anyway, but can you talk to us about farming?
Yeah. Well, you know, they do use this technology to make drugs in laboratories, that drugs that people take. So, and those are confined, and that's a really different thing. But this farming you're talking about now is they've actually started doing, there's lots of test plots all over the place. They use corn or rice. They genetically engineer it to produce a chemical or a pharmaceutical or a vaccine or plastic.
Like a spermicide?
Yeah, spermicidal corn. That was one that they were testing.
I want to pose a question to you and the audience at the same time.
Yeah.
Can you give me a double? I'll take a double, please.
Say there was this corn plant that was grown to be a spermicidal corn plant, right?
Yeah.
And say that were to, not that anything ever gets out, like all the genetically engineered fish that have escaped, and we know they've escaped, and Percy Schmeiser had genetically modified canola on his field, though he didn't plant it there. But that's all in the past. That's your information is outdated.
That's right. Now
they're
outdated and evil.
So let's say in this field full of spermicidal corn, some bee, say there's a bee, right? Who cross-pollinates that spermicidal corn with some other corn, and it begins to reproduce. Because, you know, in nature, things reproduce.
No. They have special bees for their corn.
Yeah. Well,
that only stay in their fields.
So, I mean, couldn't that be dangerous? I mean, again, can the genie get out of the bottle? Can spermicidal corn infect the other corn? Can corn with suicide genes in it go out and out-compete the regular corn? Is that a danger?
I think definitely this whole farming thing has a lot of people concerned about it. It's extremely controversial, even in the food industry, because, you know, really the spermicidal corn, they were testing it in Southern California, and I think the company that was testing it went out of business. So who knows, that corn, pollen just floating around Southern California?
And again, I want to be clear here. What we're talking about is corn that cannot reproduce.
The spermicidal stuff can reproduce.
The spermicidal stuff can reproduce. The Terminator, the thing you're talking
about, which is
also a technology that it renders the plant sterile, so they can't reproduce. And a lot of people are concerned about that because if that starts, you know, if somehow that starts crossing over,
right, gets out, and then
but the spermicidal corn can keep you from reproducing.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, the spermicidal.
Which Mark has four kids.
I'm all right now. Maybe you should get me some of that corn.
But it could keep your kids from reproducing. And your grandkids have to visit me in the nursing home as well because I'm still single. So, again, the problem, a large problem with this is again, letting the genie out of the bottle. And so much of it is done under propaganda and secretly that this film is very important for you to see because a lot of the information out there, there are a lot of lies out there by the big companies, and a lot of the reasonable positions to take are counterintuitive, and you need to be smart. You need to find out what's going on with the food supply. You need to find out why good taste and buying from local farmer and organic food is the way to get the best tasting food to eat, but it's also really important, and it's not just with your pocketbook. You need to act politically as well.
And movies like The Future of Food can help you do that. We'll be right back with Deborah Coons Garcia, author of The Future of Food.
And you can go to therestaurantguysradio.com and pick up a copy of The Future of Food for you at home. It's out on DVD. It's a really great film. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:55. We're back with The Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis. Our guest today is Deborah Coons Garcia, writer and director of The Future of Food, now available on DVD.
Deborah, you wanted to talk a little bit about food security. Can you talk a little bit about that with us?
Yeah, you know, we're all very concerned about our security now, and we have to be. But food security is really important, and that means that we as citizens need to know what's going on with our food and not have it be controlled by these huge multinational corporations.
So you're not talking about terrorists coming in and attacking our food supply. You're talking about what's going on in our food supply right now.
Yeah, from the inside out. And also this idea that food security means that you know where your food is coming from, and that's why farmers markets, organic food, connecting up with local people, you know, good restaurants like the ones that you guys have, it's all part of that security, that you're secure, that the food that you're eating is good for you, that, in my mind, it doesn't have genetically engineered organisms, it's not filled with all kinds of pesticides and herbicides that we know are not healthy for us. And
so how can we be sure we're not getting this GMO corn or these other genetically modified organisms?
Well, I think the four main crops that are genetically engineered are corn, cotton, soy, canola. So if you're eating corn or soy, I would advise making sure it's organic or making sure it's from a farm mm-hmm. that you know is not growing genetically engineered.
And remember, that's corn syrup as well, okay? Corn syrup is ubiquitous in American food right now. And yeah. And a lot of that corn syrup that you're eating or drinking is from genetically modified.
Hey, I just want to bring up another point. I mean, the fact of the matter is we talk all the time about reducing our dependence on foreign oil, which means that a few people control the oil supply of the world, and that creates a problem because they really have a gun to our head. You know what? If we let the food supply get to a situation where a few people control it all, they will have a gun to our head. The food supply can be dispersed among many people, and that's what this film is about. That's what our restaurants are about. That's what this show is about. Support your local farmer. Eat good food. Deborah, thank you for coming on the
Thanks
show.
Thanks so much, Deborah.
Thanks
it was
for
great,
having me.
Great to have you again. We'll definitely pick up that DVD at Whole Foods.
And okay,
you,
great.
You can pick up the Future of Food on DVD at Whole Foods. You can go to our website, restaurantguysradio.com. We'll link you to Deborah's website. That's Deborah Coons Garcia, a widow of Jerry Garcia, and the author and a director of this amazing, amazing film called The Future of Food. Pick it up. I'm Francis Schott.
I'm Mark Pascal.
We are The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 12 noon.